Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that Edwards refused to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances are brilliant and put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Callforcivility.com, our latest project. Check it out. See if you endorse it or what. Callforcivility.com. All right, without further ado, a quick recap of yesterday's show. We had on two incredible guests, Eldon Stahl. He's the field coordinator for the John Birch Society, JBS.org, thenewamerican.com, doing a phenomenal job. We also had on Brian Rust, RustKoenigsegg.com, doing a phenomenal job. We talked about the Honest Money Report, constitutional currency, gold and silver. We talked about the Staples Center in Los Angeles is now being renamed. Yeah, Crypto.com Arena. Wow. Crypto.com Arena. From one fake currency to another we go, ladies and gentlemen. The police say teenage thief got $36 million in cryptocurrency. Yeah, a Canadian scammer intercepted what's called an authentication request. Got caught, got a bunch of money, but then got caught. The government's always there. Now, interestingly enough, it's a Canadian citizen or a Canadian little kid. But the investigation included the FBI and the U.S. Secret Service. Yeah, we got to be involved in every instance around the world. Sad but true, we become the belligerent, hegemonous nation that thinks it's in charge of everybody and everything everywhere, doesn't it? We're the world's cops, aren't we? Not that blowback is going to be severe when people get completely sick of it. They're sick of it now, but the retaliation is going to nothing but increase over time. Write it down. We also talked about Bitcoin creator Satoshi Nakamoto. We don't know who that is, by the way. They say that's an individual or a collective of individuals. Who knows? But it's a name put to the, quote, creator. Nobody really knows who the creator is. That's a pseudonym, by the way. But they say that it could be exposed in a Florida trial. You say, well, how's that, Sam? Well, you got to listen to the show yesterday and dig into the details, and you'll find out. How's that? We also talked about cryptocurrency faces a, quote, quantum computing problem. Two cutting-edge technologies that promise to revolutionize entire fields may be on a collision course. We broke that down for you as well as we rounded out the first hour and even into the second hour. We wrapped up that discussion. Here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. In summation, the blockchain technology, it's the blockchain accounting technology that powers cryptocurrencies. Well, if quantum computing matures faster, we might be able to just bust all the crypto. Yeah, your public key might just be hacked, and then you're in real trouble. Once quantum computing becomes powerful enough, then all the security guarantees out the window. That was Hour 1 of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour 2, we talked a lot about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. Jury deliberations there, still not done. Complicated. Yeah, bad guys on both sides out there rioting in front of the courthouses. Liberal media attacking the Rittenhouse trial with everything they have. Yeah, but the liberal bias of the media being exposed more than ever before. Look, these trials, this Rittenhouse trial, trial in Virginia, all these trials, they relate to you. They relate to me. The liberal liars in the Rittenhouse trial at NBC are calling the judge a white supremacist. CNN's has one of the Rittenhouse attackers on Anderson Cooper, basically having a different story than he told in court. He had to be arrested for that. The liberal liars continue to paint Kyle as racist and evil despite the evidence. Gun Owners of America has proudly stood with Kyle Rittenhouse since the get-go. You see, it's not just about Kyle on trial. It's about you on trial. Your gun rights, your God-given inalienable right of self-defense is on trial. We talked about all these, quote, burdensome technicalities. Rules and red tapes are nothing but an attempt to eventually deny, regulate, manipulate your right to keep and bear arms. You lose the right to self-defense when you're the one that brought the gun, the prosecution claimed. Wow, there you have it. We also talked about Jacob Chansley, a.k.a. Jake Angeli, QAnon shaman, sentenced to 41 months in prison. He's already served 11 of it. So basically, what, 2.5 years left? There you have it. What a tragic tale to tell. He didn't commit any real violence. He didn't destroy any property or anything else. He just went into the Capitol, used a bad word or two, and ran around with a megaphone. What a shame, especially last week when we reported the truth on this and who's really leading the charge to breach the Capitol. None of those guys going to jail. There you have it. We just thought we'd bring that to your attention. OSHA suspends enforcement of vaccine mandate after not only the court blocked, but the appellate court agreed that it's out of control. Unacceptable. Epic times with those details. The announcement came shortly after the U.S. Appeals Court rejected the challenge by the Biden administration, put on hold OSHA, put on hold Joe Biden's mandate. But see, Joe doesn't believe in the law. Joe says, ignore the court. Move ahead anyway. Shame on Joe and the administration. We ought to arrest him for his crimes. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans stated in an opinion OSHA's mandate is staggeringly overbroad and ordered to take no steps to implement until further court orders. Well, I don't believe the courts are directly in charge. We ought to nullify now. But I do know this. The courts got it right when they say Joe's whacked out crazy. And now Joe's saying defy the courts. What a shame that is. By the way, at least 27 U.S. states, as well as private employers, religious organizations, and other groups have sued the Biden administration, saying that he's exceeded his authority in issuing his mandate. Well, you think? Well, exceeded his authority means he's broke the law. If he's broke the law, arrest him then. But nobody's going to arrest Joe Biden. Nobody has the guts in America today. Sad but reality-based truth. There you have it. And that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. Still available at LibertyRoundTable.com and LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Tell the tale. All right, Chris Carlson with us. Hard-hitting talk radio. News the networks refuse to use as we discuss all things liberty. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Good morning, Sam. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson reporting for duty, sir.
Yes, indeed. I had to play Bruce Springsteen, Meet the New Boss, same as the... No, that's The Who, isn't it?
Yes, The Who.
All right, that's The Who, ladies and gentlemen. You think of the boss as Springsteen. They called him the boss, right? But nevertheless, now the boss ain't Springsteen. It ain't The Who. Is it Ronald Reagan? Meet the new boss, ladies and gentlemen, same as the old boss, Ronald Reagan and the rise of the supply-side economics. Now, this is an interesting discussion because a lot of people believe trickle-down economics is the answer. I submit to you any economic situation that denies us honest money, honest currency, constitutional asset-based reality currency, any economy that doesn't have that is in trouble and destined to fail, first of all. Secondarily, though, it's not about just the supply side or the this or the that. It's about the free enterprise system. It's about the free exchange of goods and services and everything else. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the discussion. Supply side economics is just as destructive as socialist economics. It's just a different flavor to abuse the people. Chris?
Yeah, supply-side economics, Sam, holds that increasing the supply of goods and services translates to economic growth for the country. And I agree. That's why America has been great and prosperous over all these years, because we were able to produce more than any other country in the world. But according to our new definition, as you said, the government has to play a major role in stimulating the economy through profligate spending, which is the side of supply-side economics that I do not agree with. And that's the theory.
So let's explain, because people get confused here really easy, and I want to explain this. They say we focus on the supply side of goods and services. That makes sense, and a lot of it makes sense because it translates to economic growth, they say, for a country if they have a supply-side fiscal policy. So practitioners often focus on this. Listen, cutting taxes. Well, we agree cutting taxes is good. Lowering borrowing rates. Well, we don't think the government ought to be involved in manipulating rates. Rates are just like anything else. It should fluctuate freely with the market. And they say deregulating industries. On one hand, deregulating industries good. The government should have never regulated those industries in the first place. But when they deregulate after regulation, what they're doing is adding insult to injury. Because, again, in the deregulation, certain groups, certain people, certain power have, well, it's kind of like being an incumbent in an election. You know, you've got this special privilege, this inside status. Whether you're appointed or whatever the case may be along the way, when you get this incumbency status, it changes the game. And then they say what that does is foster increased production. The lie here, Chris, at the center of this whole discussion is that government's the agent to make it all happen.
Yeah, and the problem is they don't reduce spending. So a larger portion of that money that's supposed to be stimulating the economy is going right back into the pockets of non-productive government services.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's just another way to manipulate the market and jettison the free market, the free enterprise system, which we completely support. Hang tight, Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman, on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman talking about supply chain or supply side economics. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a serious, in my opinion, breach of the free market. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. That was the Ronald Reagan-esque stance, and it created nothing but havoc on the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen. Supply side economics holds that, quote, increasing the supply of goods and services translates to economic growth for a country. And my response is, you know what? Supply and demand ought to be king in a free market. But no, it's really just nothing more than a different way to manipulate the market, conservative style. But it's as destructive as anything else is, Chris.
Yeah. So David Stockman is the individual that I got a lot of the information that we're going to be discussing today from. So David Stockman was actually an economic advisor for Ronald Reagan during the Ronald Reagan administration, Sam. In fact, his official title was the director of the United States Office of Management and Budget. So he was intimately acquainted with Reaganomics during that period of time. And he says that in a healthy capitalist economy, income distribution reflects the economic justice of the marketplace, not the political engineering of the state. But Ronald Reagan, as much as we laud him as this great conservative, the great communicator, the Reagan Revolution, all of these accolades that we bestow upon him, was not a free market economist, Sam. He was an interventionist. He believed in stimulating the economy through government spending. And it works in the short term. I will admit, stimulus packages actually work in the short term, but in the long term, the negative side of it outweighs by far any gains you may make in the short term.
Now, let's be clear when you say they work in the short term, though. It is the economic bottle of false prosperity that makes you feel good. It's like sugar giving you energy. Yeah, it might make you feel like you have energy in the short term, but it takes its toll long term. It's false prosperity, though. We need to be very clear about that. Now, David Allen Stockman wrote a book entitled The Great Defamation, The Corruption of Capitalism in America. And Cleon Skousen back in the day wrote a book called The Naked Communist and the Naked Capitalist. These books highlight this reality that you're pointing out, Chris.
Yeah, exactly. And I was deceived in my younger years. We've talked about my conversion about 20 years ago from being a Republican to being an independent. And that was one of the books that I read, The Naked Capitalist. But I read The Naked Communist before that. But there's really nowadays, if you look at capitalism as the brand of capitalism that we are now practicing in America, which is crony capitalism or Reaganomics, however you want to label it, it's nothing more than corporate socialism, mingled with socialism all the way down the economic spectrum. So we basically
it's backed by socialist principles on the surface, communist principles at the end of the day, though. And what we've done is we've partnered with communist nations, and we've used the manipulation of supply-side economics or trickle-down economics, whatever you want to call it, to partner with the communists. Thus, the rise of China has been a core component in this effort as well.
Yeah, see, our relationship with China that we have now, this deficit relationship that we've maintained throughout all of the presidencies that we have lived through, Sam, in our lifetimes, including Donald Trump. And I proved this when we talked about his presidency. The trade deficit between the United States and China actually increased under Donald Trump, and it also increased under Ronald Reagan. So what is the point of having a conservative president if nothing is going to change as far as our competitiveness in the global market, particularly with China? In this loose money policy, this not tax and spend, but borrow and spend policy facilitates our relationship now with China to where we can trade with them with reckless abandon without regard for the debt that we have to accumulate or the deficits that we then accumulate as a result. And that's the problem.
Well, and without regard to part of the naked capitalist, naked communist discussion is, you know what, we need to have a moral component to our trade. We need to do business with people who are like-minded and who believe in what we believe in and who will embrace the moral high ground, who will reject unjust war, who will stand with the Prince of Peace, who will focus on the free ideas exchange, the free market exchange, these principles that make nations great, that drive the greatest economic engine in the world. Okay, real capitalists have a moral component to their actions. Whereas the naked communists, naked capitalists, they don't have any moral component at all. And so when we get into these massive trade deficits with communist nations, what they do is take all the spoils from that dishonest, immoral, one-sided relationship. In other words, money, goods, and services all flow to the communists. And that what they do is they take that and they build their military. And what we've done is funded over the last 50 years the greatest military in the world. And you could say, no, it's still us. Not for long. It's
not
still us.
Long.
Yeah, but we got a challenge on our hands that we built with our own dishonest money in this so-called supply chain economics or supply side economics. We've said it's all about getting spend on the American side. The communists are all, it's all about building our military with your foolish money. And that becomes the rise of China has really been on the backs of we the people seeking entertainment and goods and services and getting spend and getting spend. The Reagan Revolution, ladies and gentlemen, was indeed a revolution. Chris?
Yeah, it was a revolution in profligate spending. And Ronald Reagan, in fact, there's a statement as far as military spending was concerned. He says, when it comes to national security, you do not spend based on a budget. You spend based on what you need. Now, I can kind of see where that is, you know, if you want to defend your country. The problem, Sam, is that we, our military is now in over 140 nations in this world. We do not need to be there. If we could bring our troops home, station them on the border where we do have an invasion, where we do have a national vested interest, we wouldn't have to spend nearly as much on our military. So I do believe that we need to stay within a budget. I do believe that having zero debt as our national policy is probably more important than defending ourselves from enemies that are outside, because we are going to talk about the fact that I believe at this point, Sam, the enemies within the gates are more formidable at this point than any enemy outside the gate. And we know that through
history. Yeah, the sad part, the sad reality is they have become partners as well. And so it's hard to know who's inside the gates and who's outside the gates and who's friendly and who's foe. But we've really aided the rise of China from Reagan to Bush to Clinton to Trump to Barack to everybody. They've all been on the same side of that coin. And the Reagan Revolution was indeed a revolution, ladies and gentlemen, but not one that benefited the American people. In fact, China is happy about it and thanks Reagan and his supporters for their, quote, magnificent growth. That's pretty telling, Chris.
Yep, it really did, because it created a paradigm shift. And that's the danger when we have paradigm shifts, when we disregard our national debt and look at it from the perspective that is absolutely necessary for us to go into debt. And if you look at the dynamics of the Federal Reserve System, you realize it's impossible for us not to go into debt and expand economically. That's the great secret, the thing that, you know, it would probably take a much longer show than this to describe. But in the short term, we need to recognize that the threat of economic debt is much greater, in my opinion, than any army outside of the gates of this nation. In fact, if you read the scriptures, Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." And if you look at the people to whom we are indebted, and we've talked about this before, Sam, and it's important to reiterate, the people that to whom we are indebted literally are for the most part, are not even citizens of this country. You know, why are we indebted to foreign people who have loyalties? I wouldn't say loyalties to foreign nations, loyalties to world government. And that's another aspect of this discussion that we probably won't be able to get into much. That it's going to facilitate our merger into a new world order. It's not even being hidden that much anymore. I mean, we're merging into it at a rate and in a manner that people are actually starting to embrace it and starting to believe that we have to, you know, especially with the threat of China. Anyway, I kind of got a little bit off topic. But yes, we have facilitated the growth of China through our borrow and spend policy for our short-term gain of cheap Chinese goods at the expense of long-term, I would say, survival, not only prosperity, but survival. We have financed the growth of the second most massive army on the planet, which is China's. Eventually, they're going to surpass us in naval power. You know, we've always had the largest navy for the last 100 years.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. I am Sam Bushman. Chris Carlson with me. Hard-hitting news that Utters refused to use on tap. We're not trying to attack individuals, but we are trying to attack ideologies, ladies and gentlemen. We're trying to point you in the right direction for the salvation and restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
It's fiscally responsible and it's paid for. These plans are fiscally responsible. They are fully paid for. They don't add a single penny to the deficit.
According to the Congressional Budget Office Thursday, that is misinformation by President Biden. In fact, the social spending bill, or Build Back Better, will add hundreds of billions of dollars to the deficit. The House tried to push the bill through Congress in the middle of the night, early Friday morning, but Representative from California, Republican Kevin McCarthy, kept talking until Congress adjourned for the night.
This bill spends billions of dollars to hire 87,000 IRS agents.
The news outlet MSNBC has been banned for the remainder of the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. A news producer from MSNBC followed the jury van last night to either photograph jurors or intimidate them. MSNBC denies any wrongdoing. USA Radio News.
COVID is spiking again, and it's just not clear how to keep your family safe. Fever is the leading symptom of COVID, and the only way to reliably detect it is with an accurate thermometer. Be vigilant and be accurate with the Exergen Temporal Scanner, whose accuracy has been proven in more than 100 clinical studies. Don't rely on non-contact thermometers. They are proven to be inaccurate and will not reliably detect a fever that might mean COVID. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Hi, welcome to Furniture Depot. And you, come on in.
Couches are flying off the floor at Cheyenne's Furniture Store.
Sarah, can you go over to dining sets, please?
She needs more sales associates before shoppers take their seats elsewhere.
Can somebody get me a price check on trundle bits?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
After all these years, the murder trial of civil rights champion Malcolm X reveals law enforcement got the wrong guys.
A New York judge has granted exonerations for two men wrongfully convicted of killing civil rights leader Malcolm X in 1965. The exonerations of Muhammad Aziz and Khalil Islam were issued after Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance Jr. filed a motion seeking to vacate the convictions. Both men served 20 years in prison and were released in the mid-1980s, but Islam died in 2009. Aziz said the exonerations couldn't erase the decades of his life that were lost. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
More than 800 Activision Blizzard employees are calling for CEO Bobby Kotick to resign in an open letter. It seems to be about employees wanting to unionize their 9,500 employees. World of Warcraft, Call of Duty, Overwatch, and more are part of the Blizzard platform. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Carlson with me. We're talking about supply side economics, ladies and gentlemen. And what a disaster it's been for the Americans. It's been a Reagan revolution for sure, but it hasn't been good for the American people. Chris, that's really a point that people need to understand. We're not here to attack Reagan as an individual, but we are here to simply say these policies have been consistently destructive of America, consistently promoting and building communism and the military engine behind them. We haven't seen the full blooming of the repercussions yet, but sad to say, it's sure to come. And as you wisely point out, it's not the outside guys we're worried about so much. It's the inside people who are partnering with them that bring us the greatest concern. Chris?
Yeah, and they're making their fortunes on the front end, but they don't realize that on the back end, we're all in the same boat together. David Stockman has this telling quote. He says, "It is ironic in the extreme, therefore, that the credit-based boom in consumption and financial speculation that was engineered by the Greenspan Fed has been touted as evidence of the success of the Reagan Revolution's supply-side policies. In fact, the Keynesian boom of the 1980s and the money printing bubble of the 1990s were anti-supply side. 2 decades of exporting U.S. Treasury debt and fiat dollars was generating damaging economic blowback aimed at the very heart of the economy's actual capacity to produce output and jobs." And he's talking specifically there, Sam, about the fact that since we were now starting in the 90s, we became addicted to cheap Chinese goods. We now are forced to suppress incomes or wages in America in order for us to continue to compete with those cheap goods. And we're suffering from that today. It's actually when we compete with slave labor countries like China, we are then forced, our workers are forced to have their wages suppressed. And that's one of the blowback elements of this supply-side economics philosophy.
Now, the sad part about it, ladies and gentlemen, is what we create and what is the culmination of this is not only a massive deficit that puts us in jeopardy. Not only is the promoting of principles which we completely disagree with, socialist and communist regimes, but it gets worse, ladies and gentlemen, because the Reagan Revolution was a revolution, but on the backs of this 40, 50-year agenda that Democrats and Republicans and all the deep state folks have pushed for, the shadow government has pushed for decades on both sides of the Hegelian dialectic deception, is the growth of the not only welfare state, but warfare state as well, ladies and gentlemen, right? And the growth of the warfare state is of great concern. The fall of communism in the Soviet Union, Chris, it's a big old lie.
It was a farce. Joel Skousen, he's got a whole article in his World Affairs Brief, but I'll just share a brief quote. He says, "The fall of communism in the Soviet Union was a carefully crafted deception." And I add to that, the transition from the socialism of the Soviet Union to glasnost and perestroika, remember those words in the 1980s and 90s? They were going to transition to more openness, more transparency in government, and more freedom. I think glasnost means...
transparency on the coronavirus, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, anyway, let me finish my comments here. So the transition from the socialism of the Soviet Union to glasnost and perestroika was just a transition to authoritarianism under another name. Does Russia have enjoy the Second Amendment today, Sam? How about the Fourth Amendment? How about freedom, complete freedom of speech, freedom of the press? They don't enjoy any of those things today. Not that we fully enjoy them either. But the fact of the matter is, they really didn't transition, from an authoritarian state to one that enjoys a Bill of Rights like we do. They just transitioned to another label that satisfied not only the American people, but apparently the Russian people. And, meet the new boss, the same as the old boss, just like the theme of the show today. So, and then David Stockman talks about the Soviet Union. He says, indeed, virtually none of the Reagan defense buildup impacted the nuclear equation. Do you remember Reagan was supposed to have been the driving force behind the collapse of the Soviet Union because he was building up our military, and as a result, the Soviets could not keep up, and eventually they collapsed financially as a result, and presumably socialism collapsed, and they transitioned to this glasnost and perestroika. According to Stockman, who was in the Reagan administration, that is not true. In fact, he says that our military buildup was basically conventional defense and belligerent warfare, like tanks, like planes, like helicopters, things that in a nuclear holocaust would do us absolutely no good. So that was
there are also things, though, that you can parade around and kind of promote and make it look like we have the upper hand, but yet it's full of bluster, right?
It
reminds me
of
a bunch of kids running around with fake guns, and we're like, oh, they're armed to the teeth. Well, not if they're fake rifles. Okay, they're armed to the teeth, but not with the right reality on the international stage. So, right? So that's kind of the idea, is that it can give you this great media op, but when it comes to truly defending we the people, falls way short.
Exactly. So, did you want to connect? Because I want to make a connection now to the George W. Bush administration.
Yeah, let's do it. Because this is my point, though. It's been all the way through, president after president after president on either side of the aisle, ladies and gentlemen. They just play us for fools. And the deep state, the shadow government, just continues along the same agenda, regardless of which group is in power. Whether you think it's, oh, it's Reagan, it's trickle-down economics, it's good, or whether you think it's Obama and the disaster or whatever. Really, the same agenda is pursued day in and day out on both sides of the deep state aisle, Chris.
Yeah, these knee-jerk talking points like supply side, like, Reaganomics, these things that people just react to rather than objectively and critically respond to and dig a little deeper to find out what's really there. Is this really benefiting us, or are they just sound bites? So I think starting with Ronald Reagan, we began what I would refer to as a soundbite type of political orientation. Anyway, talking about the buildup of these conventional weapons that would do us no good in a nuclear war against the Soviet Union. So what was this buildup all about? Who did it benefit? When did it benefit? Okay, so here's what David Stockman says in regards to that rhetorical question, Sam. There can be little doubt, therefore, that George W. Bush and his father before him carried out their imperial adventures in the lands ringing the Persian Gulf because they could. An accident of history had bestowed upon them a massive conventional war-fighting machine, so they went to war without having to prove the case or raise an army. Let me repeat that, Sam, or raise an army, because Ronald Reagan had done it for them. And they did, so they didn't have to raise an army, they didn't have to tax the people, and getting a declaration of Congress. I'm not sure that has anything to do with Reagan, the Declaration of Congress aspect of it. And he goes on to say,
well, hold on. It does, because what we've created over time on both sides of the aisle, presidents as well, is to steal authority from Congress, where the president can act unilaterally without a declaration of war, without guidance and or approved budgets from Congress. He can just do whatever he wants, and Congress sits by, and if it goes well, then they take credit and say, see, we partnered with the president to do all these awesome things. If it goes bad, they say, well, the president did it and we got to rein him in. But they shirk their responsibility on the congressional side of the discussion. Checks and balances matter, folks. And they let the presidents, and they've increasingly done so over the last 50, 60 years, they've let the presidents literally run amok. And a lot of this started with Nixon when he jettisoned the gold and silver standards in America. A lot of this happened with Reagan and his, well, we got to fight the Cold War. We got to this and that. But we've literally let presidents run amok and violate the checks and balances that are the hallmark of a true republic. Chris, that's important to note.
Yep. Yeah, and that power has accumulated over the years, and Reagan is no exception to that rule. We call it the unitary executive. And I stand partially corrected. We did go to war in Grenada, and Congress did not make a declaration of war. So that was a unilateral.
Nah, they just let him do whatever the heck he wanted, because by golly, we got what do they call them? We've got hostages there or whatever. So we got to just do it. It's an emergency, don't you know? And we right, live on this emergency lie 24/7 these days, a.k.a. 14 days to flatten the curve, and we're still under the emergency. And Joe's still running amok, and it's ever increasing. And Congress simply sits back and lets it happen, where they should be impeaching and filing criminal charges against those who would abuse their executive power in such a manner. When we come back, we'll talk more about this. We'll talk about the warfare state. We'll talk about the communist, or the fall of communism in the Soviet Union was a carefully crafted deception. Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com. We got a whole lot more coming. Final segment, Chris Carlson on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman talking about really the destruction of America under the guise of patriotism. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the rise of China has not happened by accident. The warfare state and the growth of the warfare state has not happened by accident. Both presidents, all presidents on both sides of the aisle have advocated for this, quote, internationalization agenda backed by communism and socialism. And they use all these terms on the conservative side to make you believe it's good, supply side economics, Reaganomics, trickle down, whatever. On the other side, they use really dog whistles for socialism and everything else. But ladies and gentlemen, let's be very clear. The Reagan Revolution was a revolution, but it was not good for the American people. The Chinese communist leaders are thanking Reagan for their magnificent growth. And what have they done with all the money on their magnificent growth? They've built the military like you have never seen. The fall of communism in the Soviet Union was a carefully crafted deception, ladies and gentlemen. And one of the most glaring aspects of the, quote, Reagan presidency is the fact that Reagan never questioned the legitimacy of the Federal Reserve System, nor did he abolish the Department of Education. In other words, you could say he got a lot done, but nothing that would really turn the car around. Okay, a lot of these Republicans, these deep state operatives and everything else, whether it be Reagan, Trump, any of them, and I say, wow, Trump, deep state operative? Well, they may intentionally or unintentionally be part of that. I don't know. But they don't know enough or have the mojo to turn the car around. What they do is we go towards communism 150 miles per hour, and then they go ahead and slow it down to 80 miles per hour temporarily. But they don't turn the car around. Right now, we're debating critical race theory, which will come up next hour with our guest, Brandon Beckham, coming up. All right. But they talked about in the Reagan days, they're going to abolish the Department of Education. Nowadays, the FBI is investigating parents that complain about critical race theory. Wow, a lot of good the deep state Republicans did on that. From Reagan to Trump, right on through, right? See, they don't get the job done. And I don't mean to attack them individually, but what happens is they fail to embrace the real policies that would change the game, Chris.
Yep, and he was referred to, if you recall, Sam, I mean, we're both about the same age. We lived through the Reagan era. I wasn't politically active, so I really didn't pay a whole lot of attention. So most of this information comes from research I did. But he was the great communicator, and I think people love that about him. And his demeanor was very conducive to the role of presidency. You know, compared to Donald Trump, who was rude and crude and insensitive, I'll take Ronald Reagan any day. However, as far as actual actions that move the dial in this nation, he was just the same as Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton or Donald Trump. No change in terms of the consequences of his presidency, except maybe negative. But he was that great communicator. And unfortunately, Sam, people will accept that as what I would call an inadequate substitute for a real president who actually abides by his constitutional oath and reverses. He didn't reverse anything. And we talked about the warfare state. I'll just read this about the welfare state. And this is John Stockman. He said, the Reagan Revolution turned out to be nothing of the kind when it came to domestic spending. It did not even constitute an era of meaningful reform. Instead, a few programs were pruned, no new ones were started, and the vast bulk of federal activities carried on as before. In fiscal terms, the domestic welfare state remained at 15.5% of GDP. That was just a hair below where the Carter administration had left it and where it remained through the end of Bill Clinton's term. So no change through three terms of presidents. The welfare state did not change significantly, Sam.
Neither did the warfare state. It continued to build the communist war machine that whole time. And it continues today, Chris.
Yep. It continues today, and it's too hard. Because now, not only are we spending profligately, we have innocent blood on our hands. Because the way we go to war, in many cases, kills more innocent noncombatants than the people that we claim are our enemies. And they never would be our enemies if we would mind our own business. That's the ironic thing, Sam. If we would stay within our borders, which the Lord has commanded us to do, and I've cited scripture after scripture, which demonstrates that, we wouldn't have nearly the number of enemies that we have today. And we have to lay that on Ronald Reagan's charge. I mean, he contributed to that problem in a very big way.
Well, the bottom line is it continues today. It's funded by dishonest money. JFK, what was he, a Democrat, right? And he's the one that jettisoned our honest money system. But all the way, even through Trump, Trump never even challenged the Federal Reserve. Neither did Reagan. I mean, they might have had a word here or there about it, but when it comes, push comes to shove, they didn't do anything. Even the Democrat JFK tried to do more than others. But we jettisoned honest money. JFK tried to print $2 bills, but of course he died. So, you know, where do we go with all this?
It has to start at the grassroots level, and we're doing it right now, Sam. We're communicating to those who are tuned into your station, these principles. We need to continue to vote for people of integrity, people who are good, honest, and wise. Those are the three, and I've repeated this over and over in our broadcast, Sam. If you're not good, if you're not honest, you're not wise, you don't get my vote, because my vote is sacred. You know, my vote is a vote in favor of the type of society that I want to live under. And, you know, the ones that we've been delivered by our executives over the last 54 years, that's how old I am, none of them I would consider good presidents. None of them earned my votes. And we need to start voting that way, regardless of whether the candidate that we can support stands a chance of winning. I believe that we need to just do what is right and let the consequence follow. And don't follow these people that say, well, you got to vote for the lesser of two evils, because if you don't, then the more evil will get voted into office and then we'll be worse off. No, I used to buy into that philosophy, but I'm done with that, Sam. I just vote for the person who will abide by the Constitution, and I can sleep well at night as a result.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be very clear about this statement. Chris wrote a statement that says one of the most glaring aspects of the Reagan presidency, I'm going to write the Reagan and Trump's presidencies, was the fact that neither of them questioned the legitimacy of the Federal Reserve, or did they abolish the Education Department? All right, why? Why didn't either of these presidents do that? Now, you could say, well, Sam, they couldn't take on something as big and as gnarly as the Federal Reserve. They could have taken it a long way. Ron Paul ran for president, even though he didn't make it as president. He probably would have if he had a fair treatment of the media. But Ron Paul single-handedly put the debate about the Federal Reserve and auditing the Fed, at the least, on the national stage. Just imagine if a Trump hammered home on that all 4 years as president, hammered home on that as his run to the presidency, et cetera, or Reagan for that matter. Just think of what they could have done to expose that. Now you say, well, they might not have got the Federal Reserve done. No, but they could have stood as really landmarks in history for honesty in the media, honesty in money. But they could have abolished the Education Department fairly easily. But neither of them even did that. And I say to you that I am highlighting this reality, that it is a problem. Why haven't we abolished those things?
And can I add some perspective to that?
Sure.
Here's the thing. We've talked about Saul Alinsky. Obviously, he's a very poor example of leadership. But he did have an effective system that we're seeing played out today. Pressure from above, pressure from below. Why doesn't a president who has access to the ears of tens of millions of Americans, why doesn't a president have a fireside chat, sit down with the American people and say, listen, we have got some pressure from above, but we need a lot more pressure from the grassroots level on our local leaders, on our state representatives, and on our federal representatives to abolish the Department of Education, to abolish all of these unconstitutional departments that have been accumulated over the years that do nothing but encroach upon states' rights. He didn't communicate that to the American people and articulate constitutional principles that made this nation great. That's the biggest thing I have with the leaderships that we've had lately, Sam. Their unwillingness to use what is affectionately called the bully pulpit to communicate divine and constitutional truths to the American people so that we could start looking on government from a different perspective, and they never took advantage of that golden opportunity.
Ladies and gentlemen, you got to ask why. Why did Reagan, why did Trump never really abolish the Education Department? Why? Now we're debating critical race theory in the Education Departments. Now the FBI is literally using their resources to attack and spy on parents and consider them terrorists because they don't want this hostile race, dishonest, divisionary agenda taught in their schools. And now the FBI is doing the bidding of what? The education system, department, whatever you want to call it. Well, you got to blame Reagan and Trump for some degree for it, because they could have put a stop to it, but they did nothing, Chris.
Yep. And that's not even one of their constitutional powers. That's the ironic thing about it. It's the ability to have access to the ears of tens of millions of Americans. And it's one of the most powerful tools that a leader can have. You know, leaders throughout generations of times, they have always made sure that they were able to communicate principles to their subjects. Well, you know, mostly righteous leaders were able to communicate righteous principles, but unfortunately, let people like Stalin and Hitler were able to articulate unrighteous principles, which had the opposite effect. But Americans need to start recognizing, Sam, that the threat of our nation from within is just as much, if not more, than the threat from without. Instead of compiling military armaments in defense of a China or a Russia or some other external enemy, we need to be educating our people on the fact that our greatest threat is from within, because if we become demoralized from within, then those external threats will have a much easier time defeating us. And I think that's where we need to start. Jesus said that you need to clean the inner vessel before you can clean the outer vessel. And we have a big enough job. We send all our money overseas to these different countries, you know, in the form of aid. I think we need to keep it here and focus our efforts on cleansing the inner vessel before we can expect the outer vessel to ever be cleansed. So,
wise, ladies and gentlemen, not only do we need to clean the inner vessel before we look outward, we need to realize that, you know what? The founding fathers taught that we'd never be destroyed from outside. It would take within to destroy the greatest country on the face of the earth. And let's be very clear, we always think we got to go to the national, to the president, that we can put our faith in a Ronald Reagan or a Donald Trump or somebody, and they'll save us. There's only one savior, ladies and gentlemen, and that is Jesus Christ. Got it? There's only one savior, and that is Jesus Christ. If we want to save our country, we need to start as local as we can get, and we need to work hard to insist on the checks and balances, insist on the constitutional proper role of government, and then we can work from the most local, the most close to the people government. And once it's working right, we can then have it trickle down to folks like Don and Ron and others. Got it? Good. Chris Carlson, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving Americans everywhere, continuing our duty, sir.